At this Sunday's Super Bowl, Alicia Keys is scheduled to sing the national anthem. It's a role performers covet, but it can also be fraught with peril. Remember in 2011 when Christina Aguilera messed up some of the lyrics? And vocal excesses are ripe for parody, as in this Saturday Night Live skit with comedian Maya Rudolph.
The what? Soap opera.
You can check out that full SNL performance at hereandnow.org. Here and Now pop culture critic Renee Graham joins us in the studio to talk about some of the pitfalls of performing the national anthem. And Renee, could you first give us a sense of the pressure performers are under when they sing the anthem at the Super Bowl or any other big sporting event?
This is like hosting the Oscars for actors and comedians. It's one of the stations of the cross if you're a performer. You have to do it. It's a big deal. But at the same time, you've got tens of thousands of people watching you. You've got millions at home. And even really seasoned performers can come undone.
So for anyone who didn't see the Aguilera Super Bowl performance, let's listen to some of that, because even though people might not remember who played in that game, a lot of people will never forget her singing.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous path, what so proud at the twilight's last dreaming.
The sad thing is Christina Aguilera has a wonderful voice, but it almost doesn't even matter in that moment once you start screwing up. It's, you know, it's either the holy grail or it's the third rail.
She got very beat up for that.
She really did, you know, and she admitted she got overwhelmed by the moment and got a little confused. She just tried to outsing the song at that point to cover for the mistake, and it just didn't work.
That makes me wonder how often lip-syncing happens in that environment to protect yourself from forgetting the lyrics.
I think in some cases, the performers are contractually bound to have a pre-recorded track because things can go wrong, not just the fact that you might forget the words, but what if the performer shows up one day and they have laryngitis or they have a cold? My thing was, is like, fine, we get it. It's a big deal. It's a tricky song. Lots of things can go wrong. Just own the fact that you're lip-syncing. Don't pretend you're not, Beyonce. Just be honest about it and say, yeah, I had some, you know, technological help through that song.
Now, in addition to the pressure of trying to remember the words and the lines, our national anthem does have some difficult notes. And a few years ago, Robin Young talked to the lead singer of Earth, Wind & Fire, Philip Bailey, about singing the anthem before ball games, and he described how he warms up.
First thing you want to do is always go, land of the free. You want to start there. You want to do that first without anyone listening, because that's the note that you want to make sure that you can sing.
Now, that is a pretty tough high note. Would you say that's the biggest vocal challenge of that song?
Pretty much. I mean, that's the moment that everyone's waiting for, and that's going to either make or break the song. You could do great, but if you blow that note, forget it. So he's got a point, but I think that trips up a lot of singers because all they're thinking of is land of the free, land of the free. And meantime, they're screwing up the rockets, they're messing up the ramparts, everything is just, you know, falling apart because they're just thinking about, I have to hit this note.
The length of the anthem has varied a lot over the years, from 1 minute, 34 seconds, that was how long it took Kelly Clarkson to sing it at the 2012 Super Bowl, to more than 2 minutes. I think it was like 2:15. What are the different singers doing differently from one another? Are some of them skipping or adding lyrics?
Way too much embellishment. You know, that's the problem. It's everyone wants to be super fancy. Everyone's overselling the song, and they're just doing too many vocal fireworks, and it just drags the song out. It also doesn't help when you're like Christina Aguilera and you're repeating lyrics. You know, because then you almost get this panic of, oh, should I go back? And then you can't go back. Although, you know, there was an instance where Carl Lewis, sort of famously in 1993, did exactly that.
And the Rockets, red flag. Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now.
You know, one of the first singers to really put his stamp on a public performance of the national anthem was Jose Feliciano. In 1968 at the World Series, he got a huge amount of criticism for his performance of the anthem.
Proudly we
hailed at the twilight's last. actually watched this performance online this morning. I thought it was kind of nice. So why did the 1968 performance go over so poorly?
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that this was the first public reinterpretation of the national anthem. Up to that point, people sang it pretty straightforward. And he really rethought the song. And I think in 1968, when the country was, you know, kind of coming apart at the seams, they didn't really want this man rejiggering their national anthem, even though it's this beautiful, elegant version. But when you watch the clip and you hear the clip, there's some boos in the audience.
Very demoralizing, I'm sure.
But it also opened the door for lots of other singers after that to put their own stamp on the song.
And one person who did that also was Marvin Gaye, the R&B star. And we have a variation that he did to listen to. This is before the 1983 NBA All-Star Game.
Blues, broad stripes, and bright stars. Through the perilous fight, oh Lord, oh the fight. Oh, the ramparts we walked were so gallantly, yeah.
What about that version, Stan?
He turned it into, you know, a quiet storm percolating slow jam. He made it into an R&B song. And suddenly the national anthem, which could be very sort of staid and have a certain reverence, became soulful and sexy. And when you ever think you'd say that about the national anthem, it's a Marvin Gaye song. And there's something really beautiful about that. And I just think it's really one of the best versions.
Any other versions you want to mention?
I'm actually a fan, and this got a lot of flack at the time, I'm actually a fan of Steven Tyler's version from the AFC Championship game. He sang it like Steven Tyler. He sang it like the guy who sings Dude Looks Like a Lady. He's not supposed to sound like Placido Domingo doing a Verdi aria. And people were really upset, and I thought, all of the screaming, all of the shrieking, that's Steven Tyler. Does he sound like a cat in a hot skillet? Yes, he does. But that's okay.
What did you expect?
Tyler. Exactly. What did you expect when you invited Steven Tyler?
And the rock is
think makes any individual anthem performance succeed or fail, or is it totally subjective?
Well, you gotta know the words.
Sure.
I think you have to be in the moment, but don't become bigger than the moment, which I think becomes a problem for a lot of performers. They see this as this great moment for them, and they kind of forget what they're doing up there. I think the reason why people hold up Whitney Houston's version as the gold standard, and I really think this should just be an executive order, that's the only version I ever play from this day forward, but I think why that's the gold standard is because she understood the song. She understood the moment. The country was at war. You know, there were lots of American flags in the audience. She really brought out everything beautiful about the song. I mean, you know, essentially it's a song about war, but not when she sings it. It's a song about patriotism, and you have this wonderful patriotic pride that swells up in you. And Whitney Houston, who of course could suffocate a song if she really wanted to, doesn't do that to national anthem. She sings it really straightforward and perfectly.
We've been talking with Here and Now's pop culture critic Renee Graham about the challenges of performing the national anthem. Renee, thanks again.
Thanks, Sasha.
To see videos of anthem performances, go to hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.